Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For the last few months, Pastor Kerry has been hosting people who wanted to come and join together, something called Pastor in the Pub. She's been in bars and restaurants, pubs, and it's a way of discussing theology. Come and talk about God. Come together, maybe have a libation, and talk about God. This phenomenon is happening all over the country. If you go online and you look, there's a ton of them. Some are called TAB, Theology and Beer. Some are called Theology on Tap. So there's lots of clever names for a phenomenon of people gathering together to discuss God. People who might not darken the doors of a church, but have questions. Or people who don't think they can ask those questions here because they've been taught the questions, So it is an interesting phenomena. In the New York Times travel article on pubs in Oxford, it said that a good pub is a ready-made party, a home away from home, a club anyone can join. So I read this scripture today, and I'm wondering if you can imagine Jesus sitting in a pub eating and drinking with just about anyone. Much, of course, to the chagrin of the pure and the proper. Jesus is the pastor at the pub. Now, Luke 15 describes the people who have come to listen as sinners and tax collectors. Basically, that means, in biblical terms, everyone and anyone who is on the outside. And Jesus hears the mumbling of those people that are his co-workers, his religious people, and he hears the mumbling about the company that he keeps. Now, in the Greek translation, you could actually translate the word "seeks out." So it would say, "This man, this fellow, seeks out sinners and eats with them." In the New Revised Standard Version, it's translated as "welcome." This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. And as he hears the grumbling of those around, he tells them two stories. He tells them two parables about the lost and found department there at the pub. Now, there are two interesting theological issues that Jesus is talking about. There are many, actually, but there's two that I want to share with you. The first, and this is a great word that I learned in seminary, is about soteriology. the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of who is in and who is out, the doctrine of who makes it in and who doesn't make it in, who is lost and who is found. The other doctrine of faith that's in this is ecclesiology, what it means to be the church, or what does it mean to be the community of Christ? And certainly that's a question for us today. What does it mean to be the community of Christ today? So Jesus tells these stories, and interestingly, just before these stories in the Gospel of Luke, he has said to his followers, "Search and you will find." So you read these stories and you might think, oh, these stories are about loss, and this is about what we are to search for. Jesus said, search and you will find. We might even conclude that Jesus is saying that we're saved by what we search for. We can imagine ourselves as the shepherd or as the woman searching for what is of utmost value to us, searching for God. But I think most of the time when we read the parables, these two, we know that basically we are the sinners in the story, right? We're the ones who are the lost object. We are the object of another's search. We are lost to someone. And Jesus is assuring us that there is someone, something seeking us. And like the coin and the sheep, we are found. I once was lost, and now I'm found. The good news is we are always found. We are already found. But that our being found is not dependent on our own seeking, but only on our being sought. Now, in the human drama, and in the faith journey, I would not suggest that we are supposed to only be passive about our faith. But I don't think we're supposed to sit around and do nothing to draw closer to God. And I also don't think that the story says that we're supposed to be searching, searching, searching for God every moment. For God is always searching for us. It seems to be saying that we're supposed to remain attentive to the one who calls us, and that our being found can be dependent on our willingness to be found. We can play hide and seek with God forever if we want. But the question that I also wondered about when I read this is, what if it is our faith that we have lost? What if we get up every morning wondering if there really is a shepherd or a peasant woman tracking us down? The parable seems to say that if you are one of those people whose lost object is your faith, that becoming like the tax collector and the sinner means that you yourself have wandered into the pub, that place where you will be found. That Jesus is waiting at the table. Now, I did say that I thought we were the sinners in the parable, and that's the way I've heard it preached most of my life, I have to admit. But I also wondered if maybe we aren't also the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones who are deciding who is in and who is out. The ones who don't want to be hanging out with bars with any of the riffraff. Those persons that might contaminate those perfect lives that we are building, perfectly good religious lives nonetheless. When I read the scripture this time, I saw a line that I honestly had never paid any attention to all these years. And I was so struck by it. Jesus' comment, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And I thought to myself, I don't know 99 people who don't need to repent, myself included. Do you know 99 people who are just sort of righteous and perfect? 99, that's a lot. Maybe 99 in the history of the universe. Maybe. But I don't know 99 people. And I was wondering if maybe Jesus was doing a little tongue-in-cheek or trying to make a real example of really big numbers. It seems to me that the self-proclaimed insiders were as lost as the guy who had come to listen and who was on his second Guinness. Are any of us really righteous? Aren't we all lost and in need of being sought by the one who loves us so much that love will not let us go? When I think of the sinners and the tax collectors, the doubters, the skeptics, the ones who had messed up, who felt so lost, the parable is really about being found, isn't it? But for the other skeptics and doubters, the Pharisees and the scribes, the story seems to be more about learning to rejoice. Both stories, both parables, end by calling together friends and neighbors to celebrate. Join in the celebration with me, for what was lost is now found. It goes from one person's joy to a whole community. It goes from earth to heaven. It's like this big eternal celebration, a cosmic party where everyone is found. God rejoices when everyone, and I'm pretty sure especially religious people, open their hearts and their minds about who is in and who is out. Because basically, brothers and sisters, when you read the Gospels, here's the bottom line. Nobody is out. Nobody. We do it, not God. It seems so simple. When you think about the idea that there's no longer 99 and 1, there is 100. There's always 100 because it is not complete. The circle's not complete unless every single person is included. When one is lost, we are all lost. When our minds are close to one, our minds are close to all. I was thinking about how in our culture today, there are so many places where religious insiders are more comfortable with saving than welcoming. We hear it all the time, the language of salvation. There are plenty of people out there who want to save other people. Without salvation, they believe the consequences are dire. They want to save everyone. But unfortunately, too often the same voices do not want to welcome everyone. See, saving is about power. I have something I'm going to help you with. I'm going to help save you. Welcoming is about community. It seems to me the gospel is really about welcome. So I guess we're both the sinner and the tax collector, the Pharisees and the scribes. We're the lost sheep and the lost coin. And we're the ones who too often make those decisions about who's in and who's out. And I said in the beginning that we were not the shepherd and we were not the woman, but we are. Because we are called also to be Christ-like. We're the ones who are supposed to seek the lost and listen. We're the ones who are supposed to offer love and grace in Christ's name, anywhere, every time, not conditionally, not if you're like me. Not if you do it like me, believe like me, but simply because these are God's children. It is a great story. We are every character in the story. At any given time, we might even be all three characters in the story at the same time. That's why the parables are so wonderful. Can you find comfort in knowing that in this great, big, mysterious, cosmic story of God's creation, at any point you are a star in the story? We are all called by Jesus to be the pastor at the pub, a club that anyone can join. So here's my question for you for the whole week. Who are you ready to party with? Amen.